Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. This is Judith Leigh saying Moramai and welcome, as once again I am at your service. Manx Radio. This year, we're marking 100 years since the nation's collective remembrance traditions were first brought together when the Royal British Legion was formed in 1921, in the aftermath of the First World War. Remembrance honours those who serve to defend our democratic freedoms and our way of life. Remembrance unites people of all faiths and none, and from all cultures and backgrounds, to remember the service and sacrifice of the armed forces community from Britain and the Commonwealth. Remembrance pays tribute to the special contribution of forces families and of the emergency services. Remembrance acknowledges innocent civilians who've died in conflict and acts of terrorism. Remembrance does not glorify war, and its symbol, the red poppy, is a sign of both remembrance and hope. Hope for a peaceful future. This special Remembrance Sunday edition of At Your Service draws together all those strands in words and music. A celebrity singer-songwriter is moved to tears by World War I's unknown soldier, and a Manx-born Methodist minister's words take us to the reality of jungle conflict with the Japanese army in the Second World War.
Haji Goodson de Veishan, Moni Shing and Termarn chit de Veishan. Hajin Aish Danus, Nana Bliant and Dera a Hororo. Eglina Grania, Asun Savora, Nimaj Kunyanoru.
When we are weary and in need of strength, when we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have a joy we crave to share, when we have decisions that are difficult to make, when we have achievements that are based on theirs, we remember them. At the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, at the opening of the buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. At the blueness of the skies and in the warmth of summer, at the rustling of the leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. At the rising of the sun and at its setting, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them.
this Remembrance Day we come, O Lord, in gratitude for all who have died, so that we may live, for all who endured pain, so that we might know joy, for all who suffered imprisonment, so that we might know freedom. Turn our deep feeling now into determination, and our determination into deed, so that, as people died for peace, we may live for peace, and work tirelessly to bring into our world the promise of the prophet Micah, who wrote,
"In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths.' The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken."
The grave of the unknown warrior in Westminster Abbey contains the remains of one of the many thousands of British service personnel killed in the First World War, but whose bodies could not be identified. It also serves as a special symbol of those recorded as missing in action. The unknown warrior was carried back from France and reverently buried in London's Westminster Abbey on the 11th of November 1920, and his grave is one of Britain's most important war memorials. Singer-songwriter Ralph McTell, of Streets of London fame, has had a deep interest in the First World War ever since he was a young boy, and last year wanted to mark the 100th anniversary of the burial of the unknown warrior in some special way. COVID caused the postponement of his planned UK tour last year, but that has restarted now, and with it the launch of a very special remembrance song. Here's Ralph himself to tell the story.
When I first had it explained to me what The Unknown Soldier was all about, I found, even as a little boy, I was very, very moved by it. Previously, I'd always loved the Remembrance Day services they held in Croydon, which was a big splash of colour in our grey, drab, post-war world. So this is the Croydon Cenotaph. The two sculptures on it, though, are the bit that I want to talk about. Firstly, we'll look at the left-hand sculpture. And this is made in bronze. And as a little lad, this figure here was at least 50 foot high. You see, he's got his army boots, his water bottle, he's got his rifle that's behind him. You can see the rifle butt sticking out. And he's strapping his arm up. His head is already bandaged from an injury. And his arms have got the veins coming out of them. And he's a real man, almost in the Russian heroic style, I think, an idealistic picture of a tough soldier boy. And it really resonated with me as a kid. And it wasn't until I interpreted the sculpture that is round the other side that the poignancy of this whole thing registered with me. Now, this is variously described as a woman waving goodbye with her handkerchief. But as a little boy, I could see that this wasn't a handkerchief. To me, it was a letter telling her that her husband had been killed. And she's got a little girl with her, a little child anyway. I wasn't aware at that time of any songs about the unknown soldier. And I went to Ypres. I wanted to pay my respects. And that memorial to the 50-odd thousand boys whose bodies were never even found, it had such an emotional effect on me. I don't mind saying that it made me cry. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. The Last Post is played there every night and has done since the end of the First World War. And I just got really caught up in it. I said, I must do something here about the 100th anniversary of the return of the soldier to his final resting place in Westminster Abbey. I think that, you know, when you start a song, you need a good opening line. And the line that came to me here was that more than 50,000 names are carved on Ypres Menin Gate of soldiers who have no known graves, just their destiny and date.
Witness and last testament, name and rank and regiment is now all that survives from so many squandered lives.
All those of us who are lucky enough to be dads or have sons or were naughty boys when we were young men, and these were our own that went off to this terrible carnage in the First World War. And I just always wanted to pay tribute. Well, here we are at Westminster Abbey, and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is just in the main doors. And in 1923, when Elizabeth Bowes Lyon married George VI, as she was leaving the Abbey, she placed her bouquet on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in memory of her brother Fergus, who was killed at the Battle of Loos. And this is a tradition, brides laying their bouquet on the tomb, that's been followed by all the royal brides that ever have been married in the Abbey from then on. Well, the idea for the Unknown Soldier came from an army padre called Reverend David Railton. And he was visiting the battlefields, and in someone's back garden, he noticed a simple wooden cross with the name, an unknown
British soldier, and he thought this was a good idea to write to the authorities at Westminster Abbey, suggesting it would be an ideal place for a national memorial. The actual body of the unknown soldier was one of anywhere between 3 and 8 bodies. There was a bit of a dispute about how many bodies were actually exhumed. And this is all part of the kind of deliberate deception, so that no one can say if it came from, say, Arra, then that eliminates my son or my husband. This was all part of the plan. And these 6 bodies were drawn from those 4 main battlefields of Ypres, Arra, Aisne and Somme, and brought to a temporary chapel of rest in St. Paul. And a blindfold general brigadier, whose name was Wyatt, was brought into the room with another officer. All the bodies were covered with Union flags and simple wooden coffins. And Wyatt put his hand on one of the coffins, and that was immediately that was sealed. The other bodies were taken outside and buried very nearby, anonymously. And the unknown soldier was then taken to the Chapel of Rest, and the following day began his journey to London. So at the unveiling of the cenotaph in Whitehall, just up the road, the 2-minute silence was observed. And it's quite extraordinary that there were telephones, of course, in 1920, but not one phone call was made, not one, during that 2 minutes. And every train on every railway line in the country stopped for 2 minutes. Ships at sea stopped for 2 minutes. And there's even a story that the Daimler Express airplane was flying over the country at the time, turned its engines off and glided for 2 minutes, and all the men in the aircraft stood up and took their hats off. There was a mound of flowers outside the cathedral, you can see in the original newsreel, but one story that I heard that touched me deeply was that there was an elderly lady came down from Scotland with a rather bedraggled bunch of flowers that her own son had started a little garden when he was 6 years old, and these were flowers that were still growing in the garden. He'd been killed in the war, and a policeman escorted her so she could put her little bunch of flowers along with the rest. You know, war isn't glorious. That, you know, these poor boys don't even have any markers apart from what's up here. And the actual ceremony of bringing back the unknown soldier is profoundly moving and gives a little ray of hope to people that wanted to believe that perhaps that was their son. Any one of these boys might be in Westminster Abbey. We don't know.
More than 50,000 names are carved on Ypres Menin Gate, of soldiers who have no known graves, just their destiny and date. Witness and last testament, name and rank and regiment, is now all that survives from so many squandered lives.
And for every name inscribed, the poor bereaved were left to mourn. Passing of each one who died with no white cross on tended lawn. No place to go to contemplate the sacrifice, the wicked waste. No footprint left to show where once they trod. Allegedly known to God. From Ypres, Arra, Aisne and Somme, 6 unknown soldiers were exhumed. A blindfold general picked one man and reverently they brought him home. 6 black horses drew the hearse through silent London crowds immersed in deepest thought, belief, or wishful prayer, that this might be their own boy there.
The metal tires on the carriage wheels played the tuneless requiem. The sky as grey as bayonet steel above the sombre hatless men. One more enemy to kill, that remaining sense of guilt that through it all somehow they had survived. Return to mothers, sweethearts, wives.
Familiar streets, their own backyards, their medals and all praise ignored, proud to be his honor guard and walk with him their true reward. While far from pomp and circumstance, across the autumn fields of France, the trenches start to slowly fill and fade, the bloody page turned by the ploughman's blade.
Thankfully, we'll never know if he was constant, strong or frail, scared or brave in equal parts, country tent or city pale, a carefree youth or thoughtful lad, not wholly good, not wholly bad. A bomb does not judge how you played your part. A bullet stops a lion's heart. With softest cloth and gentlest broom, sweep and wipe cathedral dust like dried tears on this marble tomb. Take care, for he was one of us. In perfect irony and grief, the bride's bouquet becomes a wreath, and wrapped beneath dark angels' folded wings, Tommy Atkins rests with kings.
Ralph McTell and his new song, Unknown Soldier. Ralph wanted four different voices to speak for the countries of the United Kingdom, to represent both the fallen and the older voices of survivors. He represents England. He chose Sir Billy Connolly for the voice of Scotland, Sir Anthony Hopkins as the voice of Wales, and Liam Neeson for the voice of Ireland. Manxman Reverend Eddie Cubbon will long be remembered as a popular and inspirational Methodist minister here on the island. During World War II, he was an army chaplain and many years later published a book based around the letters that he wrote to his wife whilst he was involved in conflict with Japanese forces in the most appalling jungle conditions, as he explained in this conversation with David Collister, taken from our Manx Radio archives.
There is so much rain, and the ground flooded, torrential rain. Then the sun comes out, and everything steams. The undergrowth has a peculiar mushroom smell, dank and musty. When men come to a stream, they throw off their kit and flop down full length in the water and revel in it. Wet clothes don't matter. A common practice is to fill one's bush hat with water and quickly jam it on the head. We're a dirty crowd. You've no idea of the mud and filth. At first one tries to walk daintily, but soon gives up trying. One just wades on. We're always wet, running in sweat, drenched with water. Yesterday, apart from their boots, Some were naked, trudging in the rain. The ground is our bed, and the tin hut is our pillow. We have spades to dig slit trenches, and in half an hour they contain 18 inches of water. That's your bed. Some days we haven't time or opportunity for a wash. What with sweat and mud, we just stink. On one occasion, in a nice sheltered spot, I decided to dig myself a slit trench for a night's sleep. I did wonder why the ground was so soft and easy to dig, and when I got down 2 or 3 spades depth, I found I had unearthed a uniformed skeleton of a Jap soldier.
You were the chaplain, of course. Did all of this strengthen men's faith, would you say?
I think so. When men are in danger, real danger, it's surprising how intrusive that is to prayer.
Yes.
And they come to me, I thought they would pull my leg at first. You will be praying for us, Padre, won't you? But they weren't. Mm. And when we got delivered at Pinhuy, first thing, the colonel said, Padre, a service of thanksgiving. Just like this. I had no books, no hymns, a service of thanksgiving, right. And an officer came along, and I'd never seen him at a service before. And I said, hey, have you come to the right place? And he said, why? Well, I said, I've never seen you at a service. He said, for years I've been a convinced atheist, but there's been no atheists out this week. And I've come to thank God for a miracle, same as you.
While still in the jungle, Eddie became seriously ill, probably as a result of animal bites suffered while his troops were living in caves.
I was 3 weeks unconscious. I was afraid coming around into consciousness. I opened my eyes and it was a rough hospital, I mean, wooden. And when I opened my eyes, it would change and the bearers in the roof and that would become trees. I'm back in the jungle. And I find myself lying on my back, unable to move. And 3 Japs are coming for me with fixed bayonets and crouching until they stand over me. And they're just about to deliver the thing. And I sink off into unconsciousness again. Well, it got to the point when I was afraid to open my eyes. And this night, there was a nurse there. And she said, Padre, are you all right? I said, yes. She said, open your eyes. I said, no. Can't. She said, why? I said, I'm seeing things. What things? Well, I said, there's been lights, all green lights, red lights, yellow lights. And she said, do you know what day it is? I said, no. She said, it's Christmas Eve. And what you're seeing are the lights on the Christmas tree. And then I heard the staff saying, oh, come all ye faithful. And I started to cry in sheer weakness. And the nurse said, what's the matter? You're worried? And I said, no. I said, it's such a relief to find that I'm safe.
It's been said that truly great people forget themselves. That's why they're remembered. During the Second World War, a Russian Orthodox nun, Mother Maria, was imprisoned by the Nazis for helping the Jews. One day she saw a woman being led towards the gas chamber. She was crying hysterically, so Mother Maria put her arm around her and told her not to be frightened, that she would come into the gas chamber with her. Mother Maria died cradling that woman in her arms. Most of us are unlikely ever to be famous, but there is a kind of greatness we can all achieve, being remembered by others for forgetting ourselves.
And that's almost all we have time for now. As the programme is specially dedicated to Remembrance today, I've moved the notice board to sundown. That's tonight from 9 o'clock. And our special programming for this Remembrance Sunday continues here on Manx Radio after the 10 o'clock news with a John Moss documentary, and then at 11:15 we'll be joining Ben Hartley and Sian Cowper at the Douglas War Memorial to observe 2 minutes silence at 11 o'clock and the wreath-laying ceremony that follows. Then this afternoon at 3, John Moss and Chris Pearson will be at St John's to bring you full coverage of the National Service of Remembrance in the Royal Chapel, followed by the wreath-laying ceremony at the War Memorial in the shadow of Tynwald Hill. I do hope you can come back later and join me tonight at 9 for Sundown, a mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've got news for the notice board or you'd like to request a favourite hymn for a future programme. My email is judithleigh@manxradio.com. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a day of meaningful remembrance, a blessed and peaceful week, and a very good morning.
Station.